happy camper.
All righty, now we're going to get the happy camping going. I've lost touch with where I am. Give me one second. I know it's Kevin. Kevin Callan, the happy camper, expert wilderness canoeist, camper extraordinaire, and he loves, nothing puts a smile on Kevin's face more than the prospect of spending the night in a nice patch of frozen ice and snow out in the wilderness, man.
Woo!
Hey, how you doing, Kev?
I'm good. I just got back from for a week of winter camping. It was too warm.
There you go. See? People think I'm crazy when I say those things. They don't know you like I know.
He obviously wasn't camping 2 days ago when it was minus 18.
No, actually, that was the day I got back. But I tell you, the nights, there was one morning I woke up and, you know, those snow fleas, right, that kind of come out around March. Well, the entire snow was just full of them. It was like a plague.
Okay, hold it right there. You say you know those snow fleas like we know what you're talking about. All right, so talk to us about snow fleas.
Oh, you've never seen a snow flea?
I don't think so.
No. I don't know if it's a real flea, but it's an insect that comes out in late winter, early spring on the snow. And usually you see a patch of them around hot areas like the side of your tent or something. But I got out, and all these chickadees were feeding on something, and it was like pepper on the snow. It was just full of snow fleas, and they stay warm with like sort of like an antifreeze in their blood.
And what do they like? Do they bite you or anything?
No, not that I know of.
Wow, I've never heard of them.
I'm not making this up.
Okay, we believe you here. We just Googled it. Look at that. That's crazy. Insane. I've never seen one, so...
Well, because you know what happens. When we leave here, we go straight home. We go to warmth. We don't even stay outside and play.
I guess you have to park your butt in a snowbank in order to see those things. I mean, I don't do that. What's going on this winter?
I got to say, it's been a really weird winter, like you guys would know. Like, I'm hauling a toboggan just last week. We're in a T-shirt, you know? If I had shorts, I would have worn them. So it's just... Wow. It was... Yeah, and then it got really cold, so you go from one extreme to the other. It's bizarre, but I got to tell you though, I'm still not. I used to go with what's called cold tenting. You would just use a regular tent and no heat source. But you know, I use a prospector's tent with a stove inside, and that makes a huge difference because just the camaraderie. Like when it gets dark late, right? So we got into the tent and we had a few drinks and a good meal, and it makes a huge difference.
The prospector tents, that's the ones with the straight little 4 foot wall, and you can put a stove in it, and it's got usually has a wood floor, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, well, we use snow and boughs for the floor because we're hauling it on a toboggan, so you don't want to put wood in. But yeah, it's like one of the old canvas tents. And also, you know, the cool thing is like when we hauled in, we're looking for a really good spot, a lowland spot, where nobody had camped before, because you want a lot of wood, right? And you really need to know your species and know what good wood to burn, because you need that to keep warm. So,
how do you carry a tent like that? I mean, those things used to weigh, if I remember correctly, that's 100 pounds of tent. How do you carry that?
It is, but you haul it on a freight toboggan, so you don't carry anything. Oh. You use the snow to your advantage, right? I mean, that's the great thing I learned about the First Nations people when I travel with them up north, is that they preferred traveling in the winter. It was easier.
Well, yeah, because they've got snow to propel, right, over.
Yeah.
That makes
a lot of sense. What is it about, I just asked Brian earlier on, what is it about scuba diving that is so alluring? But what is it about what you do? What is the attraction of going out in the dead of winter in the most miserable times when most folks are curled up around the fire in their fireplace in their homes with blankets on? What is it about that that drags you to the outdoors? Like,
well, for
like, what is
bad,
it?
I swear. Well, first of all, I'm Canadian. I believe that if you're a Canadian, you rejoice in the four seasons, right? And how much Netflix can you watch, right? I mean, like, come on, get out and enjoy the nature. But to sleep in the frozen snow is a huge advantage. It's silent. You don't hear anything. Even the snow fleas are quiet.
Even the snow fleas are quiet. I love it. Hey, listen, Kevin, sit tight for a moment. Speaking of quiet, I got to do some selling. I got to scream at the from the rooftops here. I got to make some money. Time to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll rejoin Kevin Callan, the happy camper, expert wilderness canoeist, and outdoorsman extraordinaire, not to mention a great author as well. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.
At Mercury, when something's worth doing, it's worth doing boldly. So we ran our newest engine, the equivalent of four times around the Earth, at wide open throttle. Because that's what it takes to help you go boldly too. Introducing the all-new V6 Mercury 4-strokes. Lighter, quicker, more efficient. Mercury, go boldly.
Happy Camper. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Biola. He is Stephen Labadie and Derek Brandeo at The Fan, keeping us off the rocks today. My co-host, Brian Pollock from Dive Source, next to me. And before we get back to Kevin, just want to remind folks again, Toronto Spring Camping and RV Show and Sale is upon us. It is the largest consumer RV show in the nation. In the nation. And it's right here in our backyard. I mean, that's fantastic. At the International Center, February 27th to March 1st, the largest camping and RV show in the nation. Right here, you can get out there and get some of the best deals available in the country on the latest models, from tent trailers to the most luxurious Class A motorhomes. Shop for parts and camping accessories in the 11,000 square foot superstore that's right in the middle of the show. You can book your next adventure destination from there. You can attend the daily RV lifestyle seminars from the show. And, of course, the most important thing, because we're big on contesting, you can enter a draw to win a seven-day motorhome dream vacation.
Very cool.
A seven-day motorhome dream vacation. That's all happening February 27th to March 1st at the International Center. To learn more, and better yet, to get tickets, go to thebigrvshow.ca, thebigrvshow.ca. I know one guy who probably won't be going because that would be too much comfort for him. He couldn't stand living in a motorhome for a week. That would be terribly wrong. His name is Kevin Callan. He is extreme wilderness canoeist and camper. We call him the happy camper. That's because he's always smiling every time he's in the outdoors. A great author, all kinds of books. You can check him out at kevincallan.com. kevincallan.com. He also blogs on fishingcanada.com. Some great stories there, authored by Kevin. That's on fishingcanada.com. All right, enough about that. Am I right in assuming you would not stay in a motorhome, Kevin?
I think I would try one of those tiny trailer things.
The little tent trailers. They're kind of cool, eh?
Yeah. I think I wouldn't go in the one big trailer. Actually, you know, I would, because I loved that movie back in the day with Lucy Ball.
Oh, the trailer with Ricky Arnaz.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that's a great movie, yeah.
Tell me something. You do a lot of solo trips. That you're just completely isolated from the rest of the world when you go on these outback adventures. Give me a typical day. What do you do to kill a day? Go ahead.
Well, the great thing about going on your own, and I do have friends, by the way. But yeah, going solo, the greatest thing about it is you can do whatever you want. You can get up when you want. You can eat when you want. You can actually go whatever stream or lake you want. There's no conversation with anybody else, right?
And do you wear clothes on these adventures?
Did you hear that?
Do you wear clothes on these adventures? Are we
sometimes? I got to tell you, it's a great story about that. I was on this one lake up north, and actually Nelly Lake in Killarney, and I was by myself, and I was just, you know, swimming naked, no big deal. And then a water bomber came and get a load of water, and I thought, geez, I better find out where that fire is. So I went the highest rock up at my campsite. I'm standing there naked, looking out to the horizon, and then six canoes come around the corner, all full of women. And they start laughing. So I run down to the campsite. I fall. My knee is split wide open. They want to help me, give me first aid. And so that was one of my very first stories I've ever written. It was called Northern Exposure.
Oh, that's hilarious. Great story. Great story. I don't know whether we've talked about this before on the program, but I know that you offer courses to teach people on how they can survive in the outdoors. I'm not suggesting that everybody needs to go running around naked in the woods, but they're great courses because you never know when you need that kind of tutelage. Tell folks about that.
Yeah, this winter I just finished up some winter camping courses for Yours Outdoors up in Halliburton, and then this spring I'll be doing the same thing for canoe tripping and stuff like that. And I think it's really great because I also spend some time teaching students at risk out. I take them out, and it's they're great. It's just that you're forcing them out because they're kind of like apprehensive. But when I do a course on the weekend, those people want to be there, and it makes a big difference, and it makes me happy. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's actually really good. I mean, my whole purpose in life is to get people out in the outdoors, enjoy it, not survive but thrive. And once they're out there, they'll actually see how great wilderness is. They'll reconnect because we're all from wilderness, and they'll want to protect it, right?
You know, Kevin, I just wanted to say thank you because I actually discovered you a while ago on YouTube. You actually showed me how to do a proper canoe stroke, a J stroke, and I think the stroke or something. Yeah, I found your videos on your YouTube thing, and then I'm still terrible at canoe stroking, but I got a little better.
You know, the Canadian stroke is really cool. If you go to the United States and paddle, they'll notice that you're doing the Canadian stroke and they'll be in awe. Just don't tell them it's easy. Because once you start, the only thing about the J stroke and the Canadian stroke is the Canadian stroke is a J stroke that extends by rubbing your gunnel along the gun or your paddle along the gunnel.
And did you know there was canoe nerds?
Yeah. Well, it's just,
you guys are blowing my mind,
you do the
actually.
Canadian stroke instead of the J. But if you do the Canadian stroke instead of the J stroke, it just shows you that you go on long trips. Because if you, the Canadian is just a lazy J that actually doesn't put pressure on your wrists and things like that.
Well, you see, I was getting confused of where my thumb should be, whether it's inboard, outboard, and the position. And I got all confused, and then I saw your video, and I was so much better.
You guys have got way too much time in your hands. You guys both need a job. You need a job, like a real job where you work 8 hours a day.
Is there a maple syrup stroke, too, or something like that? Like
you
take maple bacon?
You eat maple syrup, drink it, and then you stroke. That doesn't sound good.
Kevin, how can folks, first of all, how would they book a course? How does that whole thing work? They go online and look you up, and get a hold of you? How does that work?
Yeah, if you even go to Yours Outdoors, which is in part of the Halliburton Tourism, you'll see that. Or even just go on my social media pages. Like I have the Happy Camper Facebook and Kevin Callan. Then you'll see that. Even go to a Casey Happy Camper, the YouTube channel, and you'll find out how to do not do the Goonie stroke or the Canadian stroke. But you'll see the courses on there, too.
You do a lot of speaking engagements as well. Anything coming up that we should tell folks about?
Yeah, a whole pile. I just start next week with the Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show. I'm going to speak there on Saturday and Sunday on Algonquin and also that trip I did across Ontario. And that starts, you know what? I have 32 presentations to give in the next 2 months. So I start a tour next week. And I hope to God I don't do what I did last year. I had my fly down on one of the shows in front of 800 people.
No.
More northern exposure.
That's hilarious.
I'll look for you next week. I'm going to be there myself.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
That's good.
His name is Kevin Callan, and you can check him out at kevincallan.com. You can go to fishingcanada.com under the My Outdoor Life blog section, and you'll see Kevin does a regular blog there. Some fascinating stories to read. Very fascinating gentleman, to say the least. Kevin, we always appreciate you coming on the program.
No problem. Hope to see you at the Frozen Wilderness.
We certainly will keep an eye out for you, and maybe stay away from those fleas.
Right.
Take care, brother. Kevin Callan, the happy camper, expert wilderness canoeist and camper and outdoorsman extraordinaire, and he loves sleeping in snowbanks. That one just completely blows my mind. I don't care what anybody says.
He's a lot of fun.